class. What? Nobody left. That's cool.
So, hi, my name's Doug. For those that, well, I guess back in August we were here and we got to speak. But if you don't know, my name's Doug and I am the husband to Marsha Pickup. Now Pierce, thanks to me. But she's of the clan of the Pickups. And so I got grafted into that one through her. But for the Pickup family, this is like a reference check. Okay, good. Yeah, so I'm their son-in-law of the youngest daughter, which that makes sense to some of you, to others. There's seven of the kids, and so I got the princess. So anyway, sorry, none of the other ones are here, so I could say that and get away with it, I guess. But yeah, can I just start by praying real fast? Father, it is such a joy to know that you loved us so much to give us your son, and that you call us your inheritance that's in the saints. We are your saints, and we are your inheritance. And God, we thank you that you have plans to seek and to save the lost. Jesus, you didn't come to sit, and you didn't come to be comfortable. You didn't come to do as the world, but you came to seek and to save the lost. So we thank you that you found us and that you saved us. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather together while it's a freedom in this country, that we can stand here, sit here, we can sing here, we can speak of you here, we can love you here as family. And we thank you for the freedom to do it while it's still free. Father, I pray that you'd also prepare us as your inheritance for when it's not free. That Father, we would be prepared and stirred up in our hearts for that time where it won't come so easy. And we will have to stand and choose to stand. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here and being present, that you are the promise of the Father. Jesus paid for us to have you in us, to seal us for that day of redemption. And so, Holy Spirit, take this time and make Jesus beautiful. Stir up our hearts and stir up our souls and our spirits and our minds that we would be what the world is eagerly anticipating. And that is us to reveal we're your children. And we know you. And with you in us, we can go be a light that the darkness is in need of so badly to show up. So, Father, take this time, even this morning, you know the agenda. Reveal it to us as we go through it. And we love you, and we praise you, and we worship you. Amen. Right on. Welcome back. So yeah, it is 10:49. I'm a big fan of figuring out what time I need to stop again. So I'm either going to look for the men's eyes to be like, is that five? Like if somebody throws out like a 5-minute window thing, that'd be good too. So is there a watch behind me that y'all all can hold me accountable to? Oh, okay, that way. So when I start seeing everybody going like that, I'll know it's about time to be quiet. Good. Okay, cool. So yeah, my name's Doug and my wife Marsha, and then we have two kids, the little blonde-haired boy with a blue shirt going after cranes that you'll hear all this time. His name's Dunedin, and then we have a 6-year-old named Madison. And we just drove up here last night, and we're American missionaries that God has called to America as well as to the world. And I guess in starting off that, like I was like you guys, where I grew up in church my whole life and all these kind of youth group, Bible studies, summer camps, and all these kind of things. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s that God really got a hold of my life. And then, I didn't really know it, but I was a part of this statistic that drives a lot of my heart, where last year I found out that 92%, and it was actually when we were sitting in Steelville at Mom and Dad's, that I was doing research, and I was looking at statistics, and this is an interdenominational pool, so it doesn't have to do with the denomination, right? But 92% was the highest number. And what that 92% represents is 18 to 25-year-olds in America that grew up going to church. Okay? So if you take 18 to 25-year-olds, 92% was a number attached to that age range. And the 92% were the 18 to 25-year-olds that grew up going to church and have now left the church and say they won't come back. So I'm a big fan that when God says church, he means the body of believers. But a lot of what the statistic meant was fellowships and like what we now call the local church, which is like local bodies within a community, right? So 18 to 25 year olds that grew up going to fellowship somewhere have now left the church, and so they won't come back. 92%. So if we had 100 of you guys here, by the time you hit 18 to 25, 92 out of 100 leave and say they won't come back. So then I was looking at my own community and in our community where God called us to be. He had already told us that, I mean, the short version is we like quit jobs, sold a car, got rid of our house, meaning we rented it out to somebody and gave them longer time than we knew what our future held. So like they're still in our house today. And it's like we got rid of all these things. We're ready to go anywhere in the world. And he said, okay, now take the vision I've given you and let it bear fruit here in this community where I rooted it. Meaning when I gave you a vision for what to do, the way I made you, do it here before you go elsewhere. Right? So I'm researching my community. For those of you that were in August last year, it's like last year we left, went to Colorado for several months, went to China for several months. We took our kids with us too. We ended up going to Thailand. We came back, ended up going to Haiti. This year so far, I've already gone to Haiti twice, and we've begun to work down there and seeking to go minister to these missionaries that are stuck out there without help. That's another topic. The next thing is like Peru did a young adults conference for like that age group that I'm talking about in Peru. There's 1,000 of them that all got together for the fifth year in a row and got to go speak to them. Got to speak on a radio station down there. Just amazing thing. But so Haiti, Peru, went to Israel a month ago. We're over there for, it was like 13 days and we did some underground ministry with the church and with things that are going on there. And it's like, so God's been sending us to all these places, but then you come right back to America, and the craziest thing is like we don't get it yet, I feel like. Like, I mean, we don't understand it. Like, how old are you with the flamingos? Oh, 17? Right on. It's cool. I was looking at that earlier. I was like, oh, look at the little hearts in their heads. Oh, that's so cute. Sorry. All right, but so like, you're 17 years old, right? Like, you go to school? Yeah, are there kids in your school that are in your age group? Yeah, so like, you see them all the time. Most of them probably don't even go to a church, right? Okay, so of only the ones that actually go to a fellowship like this, 92 out of 100 are walking out going, okay, now that I get to make choices, I'm out of this. And we like to go, well, it's because they finally get their freedom and they got their cars, now they get to make their life decisions and stuff, right? But the crazy thing is, like, in our community back home, we have 320 churches, 90,000 people. St. Louis is a lot bigger than that. But we have 90,000 people, 320 of these fellowships going on, and only 13% actually go to one of them. So we lose, like, 92% of the younger generation in here, and we're only gaining another 5%, right? So 8% stayed, and then now we have 13%. So out of 90,000 people, that's only 11,700 and change. Like, do you get, like, the picture? If I had, like, a whiteboard, we'd be drawing pies, and we'd be getting, like, slices, and how small the slices that actually are going to a fellowship. And if I were in here and I were like, okay, God, give me the radar to be able to look and see how many actually know you. That beautiful verse, John 17:3 this morning said, this is eternal life, right? So it's not, this is a good church member. This is a good person who loves God because they're here. It's like, how many people actually know you? You know, and when we were back there praying, this is like one of the things I thought about doing this morning when Jerry said it. Hey, you want to share? I'm like, oh yeah, I love talking. It's like, cool. That'd be great. And I was sitting back there and I literally like, I had this picture of everybody in this room closing your eyes. And everybody, like, let's just see what would happen. Let's just close our eyes, right? So everybody just close your eyes and follow me through this. If you don't trust me, I'll get it. But if you trust me, it's like, Father, it is your heart that we know you. You gave up Jesus that we could have eternal life. And Jesus, you said it is to know God. So God, you want us to know your heart and you want us to know what you think about us. So Father, I ask you to bless this attention on you. And for everybody with their eyes closed that's tracking, I want to say a phrase, and I want you to just receive whatever the next word is. But God, when you look at me, how do you describe me? To you, God, I am. And I'd encourage you, if your eyes are closed, just pray that to God, you want me to know your heart for me. So to you, I am. I really believe that God wants us to hear from Him. You know, like for me, it was like the weirdest thing. The word that keeps coming to my mind is beautiful. It's like, God, when you think of me, you think I'm beautiful. Which to you doesn't mean much, but to me, it's like man, that like satisfies my soul right now. For me to go through that and think like, oh God, you see me as beautiful, despite everything I've been, despite everything I am, all those things, like that's the word that you would give to me about your heart for me. And you guys, I don't know if you've ever stopped and asked God to give you a description of how He sees you, but I just felt like we were supposed to pause and do that for a moment. And I would say, how many of you actually had a word or adjective come in behind that phrase? Write that down. Write that down and treasure that, because He is not trying to hide from us. He's not trying to withhold His heart from us either. If you would have asked me back when I was 18, about to go off to college, I was going to go research how to start a restaurant / bar, and I was going to be able to sell alcohol to get people drunk so that they could go do whatever they wanted in life so that I could make a lot of money. That was my goal. Because baseball got stripped away, sports got stripped away, and I wasn't going to go fulfill Doug's dream for himself. That's what I was going to default to. And why would I go do that? Because I didn't know how beautiful I was. And what's crazy is like I wrestle with that idea of like, Jesus, you're my bridegroom, which makes me your bride. In my mind, I'm thinking I'm feminine, but I'm not feminine. I'm a dude. I'm a guy. I'm a male. But I'm confident enough in that to go, and I'm beautiful. Like, I'm the bride of Christ. And when He sees me, it's like when I look at my bride. Like, if you ever saw her contact in my phone, it's like my beautiful wife. It's like, because that's what she is. And so whatever He spoke to you, you've got to figure that out. Because when I was 18, I didn't have it figured out. TJ, right? Yeah, dude, how old are you? 14? Right on. Yeah. So if you can figure that out now, oh man, what the world's waiting for. Like, if you would realize that He wants you to know Him and grow in Him, you won't be that statistic that walks away from a fellowship. Because what's crazy is in my community, we have 320 of these boxes, right? 320. 90,000 people. 18-year-olds know how to read. Well, here we go. What was your name? Taylor. That's more pretty than flamingos. Okay, cool. But, so Taylor. All right, just out loud. Let's participate. Okay, cool. It's like, what does this spell? C-H-U-R-C-H. Right on. She's 17. So when we have it plastered on a sign somewhere in front of a big brick building or a wooden building or some kind of like place, right? It's like, she's at 17 and Taylor knows where the churches are. So what's the problem? It's not that they don't know how to find a church, because they can read that. The problem is, they don't have this relationship with God that Jesus said was eternal life. Because if you're walking with God, you're not going to forsake fellowship. Why would you do that? Like, we're so much stronger together. We're so much better when we unite, when we get focused on things. And when we want to change something, the more the body comes together, the better it'll function. So if I clip off Jerry as the pinky and me as the pinky toe and TJ as a thumb and dude, what was your name? Max. Max, dude, that was sweet when you read that. When I say sweet, I mean like really amazing that you would stand up and read that in a room full of people. Don't let others look down on you because of your youth, dude. What are you, like 13? Man, I'm good with numbers this morning. That's great. 13, dude. And you would get up and read that in front of all these people and say it means something to you. Right on, man. Keep doing that. So Max, he's like the pointer finger. It's like if we all have this function and this role to play, like until we start figuring out that God, you love me so much that you actually gave up Jesus so that I could now have relationship with you, then it becomes about this and it doesn't become about this. And so when I walk in here this way, I get to reveal that I know God. God knows me. He wanted you to hear that. Like, Taylor, did you get a word this morning when I said that? What was it? Are you just copying me? Yeah? Do you not want to say yours out loud? It's okay if you don't. And if it was negative, I could promise you that probably wasn't God at all. That was it. But, so you did? But you don't want to share it? Sure? Okay. I'm going to move on this way. Okay. So Jerry, you raised your hand first. You don't even have to say it if you don't want to. And but the point though is like if you have that and if it was from him, spend time homing in on that. Because why would he say that if he doesn't want it to mean something, if he doesn't want it to shape something, if he doesn't want that to be something that starts making you walk a certain way? You know, it's like if we get together and we like build one another up, and you just heard that from him, I didn't speak it to you, he spoke it. But here he wanted, like, I'm sitting back there while we're singing and taking communion, I'm sitting here going like, oh, he wants like that? Like, God, I could talk about this 501c3 we started. I could talk about all these other trips that are coming this year. And it's like, I could talk about all this other stuff. And I was like, but that's what you want to take a moment to do? And it's like, well, then right on, let's do that. Because whatever word he spoke to you just then, that's more valuable than me saying 1,000 things. Because at the end of it, like, whatever that word is, for me, beautiful, like, I don't care about any more hair jokes or hair compliments. Max gave me a compliment on my hair, whatever. But, no, I'm just kidding. My wife, that's a whole other story. I'm just kidding completely, y'all. But the point, though, is for him to tell me I'm beautiful, that means so much more to me than most of the stuff that we've done here. Not because I'm devaluing the fellowship, but because it was God's voice. And you got to realize that what he says about you is his heart for you. It's true. It's true. It's your identity. So going back to it is like, why do the 18 to 25 year olds walk away from these environments? It's not because they don't know how to read where the sign says, blah, 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 church. Right? It's because they don't know God. They don't have eternal life. Like Jesus in John 17:3, it says, like verse 17:1, he says, like, Father, speaking to the Father. And then at the end in John 17:3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the one true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. And he just spent three chapters where he intertwines all this part about how the Holy Spirit is going to be the promise, the helper, the comforter, the counselor. He's going to come and teach us all truth and seal you for that day. It's like, so it's like eternal life is knowing God, and we got 320 boxes and 92% of the kids growing up in there are walking away. And it's like, how many of y'all work in a business? If that was your profit loss, what would we be doing? You know what I mean? Jesus said, like, didn't you know it'd be about my Father's business, right? But you guys, like, man, there's a whole community that's just waiting. And like it says, Romans 8:19 says, for the whole of creation waits with eager expectation for the sons of God, which we know means like the humanity of God, like the sons and daughters of God, to be revealed. So if they're out there just waiting for us to go reveal that we know who we are, Jesus in Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It didn't say he just sat back and waited on them to show up to them. But he said, like, I came to seek them. And I only did what the Father said he was doing. And I only said what the Father said, right? Like, I don't know if anybody's tracking this, but I'm getting fired up. The point is, like, they're waiting on us to get up and to go after him. They're waiting on us to find out who we are because we know who he is and then go reveal that. And if you're willing to go after him, he'll show you who you are. I mean, here I was going to be a restaurant bar owner to to go make my millions of dollars, whatever, like with a chain of restaurants to go allow people to live in their sin and me live in mine, right? And you know what I spent the last month of my life doing? Like 2 to 3 days a week, we've been taking kids surfing. I'm going to start at the end and move my way back. So we've been taking like these surf camps that kids are signing up for $20 a pop. So like you get 8 hours of surf lessons with us, and it's really like 4 hours of lessons and about 3 hours in a vehicle with us, like an hour and a half down, an hour and a half back. And it's like, and so we've been doing that. And why? Because I'm riding my bike in the middle of my neighborhood on the phone with a guy, a disciple out of Colorado. And I'm like talking to him, and as clear as a bell, I heard, call Mark. And I'm like, hey dude, I gotta let you go. I gotta make a phone call to some guy in California. He's like, oh, okay, hit me back. You know, I get off the phone with him and I call Mark, and it was just the right time to call this guy. I'm on the phone with him for an hour and a half, riding my bike still around the neighborhood. And it's like, and as I'm riding my bike, he's sitting here and he's like catching up on us and letting us, you know, like know what he's up to. And we like spend an hour and a half talking, which how many times do we take an hour and a half out of our life to just talk with somebody because we value somebody? Right on, girl. Keep doing it. You too. All the rest of you. There we go. We got two. Like, but think about that. Like, people are that valuable, and it's like, if God would tell me to call him, why would I have to call him? And it's like, so I start talking to him. At the very end of the phone call, the last like 5 minutes, he goes, well, hey, we've been following you guys on Facebook and Instagram, and man, I feel like we're supposed to buy you 10 surfboards. And we're going to send you, this guy's in California. He's got 5 people who make surfboards, high performance longboards, if anybody's in the market. But anyway, so he has a manufacturing company he started that's like, deals with 5 shapers on 4 continents, and I have no clue about any of this. And at the end of it, he goes, I feel like God's telling me we've got to buy you 10 surfboards. Would you use them? I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, I've got boards, but if you want to get us some, you know, he's like, yeah, I'll buy them and I'll ship them to you. I'll contact my guy. So I'm in Israel, and he's working out getting surfboards sent to us. And I get back from Israel, we got 2 weeks to prepare to do these surf camps where we're going to take kids down, teach them how to surf, right? So that's how we got surfboards. And we go, okay, God, if you've given us surfboards, we've got to reach kids with surfboards, put kids on boards. And we did 2 camps where we had like 3 and 5 kids, and then literally we've been sold out ever since. So is that what Max's life is going to look like? No, probably not, dude. I mean, you're welcome to come down next year, dude. But I mean, but yeah, you're probably not going to start a surf camp here. I mean, you're in a school. Like, for most of y'all that are younger, you are. For us that are older, you're in a job or in a business. You're doing something, whether it's ministry or whatever it is. But I get back to that because, like, when you look at me, my plan was to go start a bar/restaurant. And then when I start walking with God, it's like I get back from Israel and Jerusalem, which, like, you guys' times are getting short. I don't know if you guys knew that, but, like, Matt, like, we don't have, like, much time left. And when I was young, I would listen to a pastor get up, and I would go, dude, how do you know that? But I can promise you, like, I've already seen the architectural approved drawings for the third temple that they're going to build on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. I sat there and watched a 10-minute-long promo video of where they have 8 of the different world-leading religions that are all going to have access to the holiest of holies that right now is on Mount Moriah, where the foundation of the first 2 temples was. I can show you a picture on my phone of how Hindu, Islam, Sabbalah, Buddhist, we have Christian and Christian mysticism, and all these things are going to have their own temple right there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and they've got millions already raised for it. You guys, they've already got a high priest selected. Man selected a high priest and has already put him in his spot, and he's got priests underneath him that are going off into these nomadic tribes that are still doing Old Testament sacrifices. There's a whole group of nomads raising red heifers. Just Google that in prophecy and see what happens. So here we are in America, and this is comfy, right? We got AC kicking in, dude. We got a beautiful building right here. But I'm telling you, we aren't the star players of the show. Jerusalem and Israel, we talked about this morning. Doug was bringing it up. It's like, Israel is where we look to see the times. And they're literally raising up millions that are already in place and millions behind it. They've already got storehouses out in the middle of the desert in Israel that have the materials for this third temple that's going to be called the People's Temple. This is up above you middle school, high school kids. This is for us adults. It's like, if you ever thought there was a time coming where it was going to get really serious here, it's coming. And when they start building a temple where they're literally going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, which they have, and they're going to put it back in this place, and they're going to start doing the Old Testament stuff again, only they're going to do it with every leader of every religious belief. If you didn't think the times were coming, like, times are coming. Like, it is serious. And for me, I'm living like I've got 5 years before I've got to take a mark or watch somebody die. And I don't mean to be, like, morbid about it, but you guys, like, don't get things twisted in America. We aren't that beautiful. I mean, we are amazing. We all have God's heart, but we aren't that star of the show. Like, we aren't the ones that He's drawn everyone back to America. It's over there. And when you start seeing the times and you see these things in place, we're supposed to be the ones that know. And I'm saying this for us adults with all sincerity. It's like there was 5 virgins that held themselves pure. They devoted themselves to the One, but they weren't ready. And 5 of them missed it. And for us, it's like, you guys, we've got to be back in love with them. I mean, we've got to get in love with them. That first love thing again. Hearing His voice and only wanting His identity for us, because the whole world's waiting for us to walk out there and show Him. And here in America, I'm telling y'all, we don't have much time left. For grown-ups, like, we think of the school system and what's being taken out of it. You think of the government and what's being removed from it, from our cities and the monuments being taken down, from the commandments and other things, and prayer and all these things. It's like, you guys, it's not because the enemy's getting stronger. It's because we need to step up. We need to recognize the times and how serious this is. And if you don't do it for the mega bride, do it for them. Do it for them. All the way back, 92%. 92% of 18 to 25-year-olds in America are walking away. And again, it's not because they don't know where these boxes are. It's because they don't know God when they hit 18 to 25. They don't have a relationship with Him. So, you guys, I just want to encourage you on that. I know that whole Jerusalem-Israel thing, but I mean, this verse is about wake up, O sleeper. I mean, God doesn't say that stuff playing games. And He doesn't mean that for us to, like, wake up. Because I don't even know how many million are in St. Louis. And I don't know how many thousands of churches are here. But I bet you it's still probably about 13% that end up coming to one of these. It's because they go to work with the bride and they're waiting on us to be beautiful. They go to school with the bride and they're waiting on the bride to be beautiful. They go to work for you as your employees or your managers over them. And they're waiting on you to walk in there and actually act like you know God in such a clear and tangible way that they can know God too. Because, man, like, standing where they're going to throw Jesus off a cliff, and you're standing over the Valley of Megiddo where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and that thing was massive. I mean, just incredibly huge. I mean, you just look at this thing and it says up to the thighs in blood from that war. Like, it's going to be humans. It's going to be man, woman that are in that battle. And it's like, you guys, this whole world is just waiting for us to rise up as the children, as the bride, and realize who we are in Him so that we can go show them that they can know Him too. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, just maybe listen to the recording 10 times and something will go deep in there. But the point is, like, in America, we already see the fruit of the last 50 years of ministry going on. Because it's not the last 18 to 25 years of them leaving. It's the teaching that was being taught to those teaching the 18 to 25-year-olds. Right? So what I learned over the last 5 years is what I'm sitting up here sharing, right? Somebody was teaching me. In the school system, it's the same thing. You go to school, get a sheet of paper. Once you get a sheet of paper, then you can go teach. And when you start teaching, it's the fruit of what you've already learned from this other place. So you guys, I just want to encourage you. Like when you see them, there's a verse that says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. But that phrase, do not be deceived, like don't be deceived, that 92% was across America, across denominations. So if there's anything that I'm really trying to sow, it's like if that were a business, we wouldn't be happy with it. We would switch the whole deal up. And I'm not saying switch this up, but what I'm saying is look at them differently. Look at them like we've got to have them so in love with Him that what He talked about, that blessing that other people don't really recognize are really a blessing. You've got to have Max walking out there realizing having his friends make fun of him and punk him out in the middle of the cafeteria is cooler in God's eyes than any human in that room. And having his attention is more precious and valuable than anybody in this room. In this room. It's like, he's got to be not just receiving what he read this morning, but he's got to go live it out. And he needs people behind him to champion him to go live that out. That he'll go take it off the face. That he'll let people talk poorly about him. Because dude, if you realize that that is the real blessing, you'll go shape this community. I mean, it's crazy. Just go for it, dude. We'll be back at the end of the year. Like, tell me how it's going, man. There's this one little high schooler at a school, one of the major high schools where we live, gave his life to the Lord. Parents don't go to church, nothing. It's like, doesn't even go to church himself. But he went and he had this encounter with God, and he comes back to his parents, and he's like, Mom, Dad, I've got to do something in our community, and in my school system. We need a club or something. And so he goes back to his parents, who are business professionals, and they go get him a retractable banner, and then they go get him a bunch of wristbands, and they get him those cool little things that clip to the back of your phone that expand, and you can put your fingers between it to hold your phone. You know what I'm talking about, young people? Okay, cool. So they got him a bunch of those things to all attach to their phone and all this kind of stuff, right? They've got the fastest growing club in our county, and it's like there's like 120 of these little high schoolers that show up every week because mom and dad that don't go to church got behind their son, and they wanted him to be able to start some kind of community where they could do devotions once a week before school. Local restaurant gives them free breakfast every week. All because mom and dad, who don't even go to church, don't even have a relationship with God, they go, if he wants to do it, we want him to go do well. It's like, what is that? So, I mean, like, get behind these kids in here. Because if you get them so secure that when they hear God's voice, they heard God's voice, live like it, it would be amazing what would change. But last thing, like with these surf camps, my little like star testimony of it. We got a lot of them, but how are we doing on time? 10 minutes, right on. Cross feeling like the hook was coming real quick. So, sorry, y'all are doing good. But so this little dude named Nathan, little 10-year-old, like. On our little Instagram account, like, which, how many of y'all have Instagram? Like, some people are like, yeah, we do. So anyway, we have an Instagram account called VSM Surf Count or Surf Camps, and that's what we're doing our thing under. And we've got like, I always make a joke, like we've got like 27 followers or something, but I think we have like over. It doesn't even matter. Anyway, the point is like, so we go out and we have all these people in our little like little thing. And so this little 10-year-old named Nathan, right, his mom finds out about it. They live 30 minutes away from us. His mom finds out about us doing these surf camps, and it's like, and his son has always talked about surfing. When the movie Surf's Up came out, they watched it for like 2 years straight. It's a cartoon movie about penguin surfing, if you don't know. But anyway, so this little dude named Nathan, he's like 10 years old. Here's Nathan's situation, right? Nathan's a 10-year-old with a 10-year-old girl living with him. They call them stepsister. But mom and dad aren't married and have been together for about 5.5, 6 years maybe. And they live in the same house together. And they have a 4-year-old daughter together. And so here's little Nathan, whose dad lives elsewhere. Mom is in a relationship living in the house. And they have a kid together. And there's 2 10-year-olds that got brought together in this thing, right? Christian-wise, if we know that's not healthy, right? But when we look through like the eyes of God, it's like, oh man, these are valuable people. Jesus paid for them. So here's little 10-year-old Nathan, and little 10-year-old Nathan, he wants to go surfing. And so he goes on one of our surf camps with us. We pick him up on our way down. And again, like the whole goal of the surf camps is really like you want to go surfing, but I just want to get to know you. And so I use surfing as a tool because like God gave us 10 boards. And here God gave us 10 boards. We get kids to go surfing and I get to know you while we're out there. And would you like to learn how to surf? Would that be lame? No, probably not. Okay. So like, see that? That's how you like, oh, now I know why God gave us 10 surfboards, right? So let's all get them on a bus and get them down because we've got four kids. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so the point though is like, so these kids want to learn how to surf and we got an opportunity to get them in a car for an hour and 20 minutes and then I take them down there and don't get it like mixed up. I don't get to go surfing. Okay? Like I surf, but these camps are not about Doug or my ability or enjoyment of surfing. These camps are like raging a war. Because everyone that God entrusted me with, when he had a phone call made to a guy in California, and God wants to invest 10 boards into my life so that I can use those to invest into these kids' lives, that becomes a battlefield, and I see where I'm at. I go out there with the Nathans, and I don't ride a wave next to Nathan. I go champion Nathan for 8 hours a day. And I love that little kid knowing that the enemy is trying to destroy this kid's life. And on the way home from that first camp, I'm sitting in the back and I'm playing around. Like I have like a 12-year-old spirit, I think. And I'm back there just playing around with little Nathan. I'm like, so dude, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever talked about God before? Like, no. No, I haven't. I was like, oh, okay, cool, man. Hey, have you ever like heard of a Bible? It's like, yeah, we don't have one of those. But yeah, I think I know what that is, right? Isn't that called like the Holy Bible? And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's it. Good job, man. That's cool. Have you ever read anything out of it? He's like, nah. Nah. I was like, so you don't have one like on a shelf even at your house? He's like, nah, we don't have one of those at my house. I was like, oh, cool. Have you ever prayed before? He's like, nah. Nah, we've never prayed. I was like, so your family's never said a prayer or nothing? He's like, nah, we don't ever do that. I was like, so you've never talked about God really at all? He's like, nah, I haven't. I was like, okay, cool. Most of us are sitting back and like, ah, like, who is this heathen? Like, you know, but I'm over there going like, yeah, right on, dude. That's cool. Is it cool to me? Like, yeah, because he's a 10-year-old that just sat down and told me that like, nobody's ever painted a picture of God for him. And I get to be the one that God trusts to put in a bench in a van next to me with 10 surfboards there. And I get to go grab this kid's heart. And what's crazy is like, so I'm just sitting there not treating it like it's anything. But as soon as we get in the van, I'm joking around. I'm like, hey, you guys, every time we get on a road trip, not because we have to, but I just love thanking God that we get to hang out for a car real quick. So if you don't, it's cool. Just keep your eyes open, but don't get in the way. I'm just going to like talk to God real quick with you. And it's funny, like I'll sit there and do that, like everything that we do. We get our boards at the top of the water. We talk to God. We look at the waves. Guys, don't close your eyes, which sounds weird too. And I'm like, yeah, don't close your eyes. God actually said, look up to the heavens where your help, you know, so look out to the waves that he made because he said he formed them in fashion. Let's just look out there. And I'm sitting here behind all these kids just going like, God, just grip their heart. Lord, you stirred up the waves and this little wave is for them. This little like opportunity for us, you know, and we're using everything to just turn attention to them and ask God to get involved in it. So here we are on the ride home. Nathan just says that. And that night, Marcia, I think, showed me the little Instagram post that his mom put on there. And she goes, my son's never been, or this is his first outing, his first chance away from his family. That's crazy. 10 years old, never done anything without mom or dad. 10-year-old, first outing, and what does he want to do? He wants to get on a van with a bunch of strangers and go catch waves, right? Good start. So it's like, oh, cool. So she's happy. And she's like, so he had such a good time. He's been talking about this for blah, 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 right? And then at the end of it, it's like, and surfing was just a bonus, but he thinks he found his people. Right? And I tell everybody, it's like, look, if they pay $20, like, and y'all, when we do these surf camps, we're missionaries, so like, we're not there to build a business, we're not there to build anything, so we charge $20, and we lose like, anywhere from $10 to $15 per trip for these kids, which is beautiful. I mean, it's great. They're like, we can go lose money to take these kids surfing, and it still is beautiful in the kingdom, because it's all God's, right? But here's this kid that goes like, and he thinks he's found his people. Like, that's crazy to me. So then the second trip comes along, and then he comes back, and he's coming and having a great time and all these things, and he's about to go see his dad for like the rest of the month of June. And he literally gets in the car on the way back, and he goes, hey, I really think my mom would be cool if I stayed home for another week and I didn't go to my dad's and I did surf camps with you guys. I'm sitting there going like, oh, dude, yeah, that would be cool. Except for, like, I grew up without a dad in my life, and I had to go visit my dad in the summer, and dude, I'm telling you, like, go meet your dad. Go get into the closet, man. Go find, like, all these things about your dad. Like, go fall in love with your dad. Go, you know, like, and I'm encouraging that, right? But it meant so much that he would want to give up that time to come and hang out with us and do surf camps, right? So then that night, his mom ended up posting something else on Facebook, and she ended up saying, like, I'm so thankful for what you and Marsha are doing with these surf camps and just what that means to us. I can't remember exactly what it was. But it was something to the effect of like the ministry that you're doing. And then she sent us a week later, she sent us a text message. And this is the part that's crazy, right? So like little Nathan's an atheist by association. Not because he chooses to be. He doesn't know better. Just nobody's talked to him about God. And here he, 10 years old, goes on a surf camp. He goes to his dad's for a week of camp. And his mom's already put out two little posts on Instagram that like talked about how like we're doing this and his son's in it, right? And then this text message she sent on a Thursday night, I'm sitting there reading it and it says, I just wanted to pass this along. I talked to him and while he's at his dad's and he's at summer camp and he got a fish and he named his fish Doug. Which I mean like, to be like selfish for a moment, it's like, I wish he would have named it Jesus or something cool, you know, like, the Messiah, like, or something cool. Like, it would have been cool if he did like that. But what does that mean to me, though? It means like, oh, man, I've got this kid's favor. This kid's let me in. And when he gets a new fish, he names it my name. Because I'm giving something to him that he doesn't have yet. So, Doug, we got a fish named after us. Man, that's good stuff. But the point, though, I just thought that, like, we can connect. I don't have many options to connect like that. So I don't know many Dougs. But the point is, like, here this kid gets a new fish, and he would name it that. And here his mom, who's never talked to her son about God, is sitting here, and she sends me this message, and underneath that, she says, he's at summer camp with his dad, and he just wishes and misses he was, like, at surf camp. And underneath, she goes, I thank God that he called you and Marsha into this ministry. And she's never said that to her son yet. Like, she's never even said something about God, and here she is on a text message saying, and I thank God that he called you and Marsha into this ministry. It's like, you guys, like, they're just waiting. And here's this lady that's never even talked to her son about it. And I'm sitting here going, oh, Lord, make her say that to her son. Let her, like, realize that, like, you did do this and, like, we're going to keep pouring into that. But it's like, to end on all this, because I'm sure I'm there, it's like, there's a time where Moses was being called to go do something, right? He was going to go reach a whole bunch of people. And Moses was like, I can't do this. Like, how am I going to lead the people and all this stuff, right? So Moses was doubting his identity as the one that God chose for him to go and do these things. And so he was doubting God and questioning God. And what did God ask him? He said, what's in your hand? Y'all remember what was in his hand? What was it? Nails? That was Jesus, bud. He had a staff. So Moses had a rod, a staff. Do you guys remember the miracles that came out of that staff? And y'all remember all that? How God just used a simple stick of wood that had died and fallen off a tree, and yet God started using that to lead a nation in the right hands. The last month he gave me 10 surfboards. And what's funny is, like, I was in a season of raising support to go to Israel, which means we were raising $3,000. Like, we needed $3,000 to go, and God gives me 10 surfboards worth $4,000. If I needed the money, He would have given me the money, right? But the money wasn't the need. The need was 10 surfboards so that I could go grab these kids. Which is all good for Doug, right? But what about you? I mean, literally, like, what has He given you? Like, what has He put in your life? What are those, like, passions and desires? Like, what are those things inside you? Because not everybody has those. Like, people make jokes all the time, like, oh, so surfing. It's like, no, you don't. Like, man, I'm out there running, like, for 4.5 hours. I burn 1,000 extra calories, thanks for technology to tell me. But I'm sitting out there, like literally, like, I'm in salt water up to my chest for 6 hours a day, basically. And I'm out there running out there as hard as I can. I go after every little kid to make sure that every wave opportunity they have, they get. And I did everything I could to let them have the most fun and the most experienced time of surfing that they ever could. So then when they walk away, they say what most kids have said. That was the best day ever. Which to me means like, oh, we gave them something they haven't experienced yet. And they're going to come back. We haven't had one kid not come back. We haven't had one that hasn't been sold out. Marcia's even overbooked twice because she just didn't want kids to miss out. And it's like, I mean, you guys, but like, it's not about surfing. It was about him giving me boards. The glory is not mine. The glory is his. Like, he knew how to use me to go reach him, just like he knew a staff in Moses' hand. So what's he giving you? Because you're not too old. As long as you got breath, you're not too young, you're not too old. Wherever you're at right now, God's given you something. Or more than something, some things. And you can leverage those. But if you don't know Him and what He thinks about you, you'll never do it. Like if you're letting this world play with you, that 92% of the adults in my community, 87% don't go. It's like, man, we've got parents, kids, churches, non-churches. It's like we've got all these people that are trying to plug into 10 surfboards that came from California. And it's just crazy to me. So right here in St. Louis, what is it, South County? Is that it? Yeah. So right here in South County, like what has God given you? Like where do you have favor? Where do you have joy? Where do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Where it's like, oh man, like man, when I get around these, it's so easy. It's like clockwork. Like I get around adults and it's like, why do I keep talking to these guys? Because like, oh man, God gives me favor with these kids. Not because I'm anything, but because He's changed my life. But I'm aware now, and so I go after them. Like, because they need somebody to. And there's people in your world every day that just need you to show up. And they're literally just waiting on you to step in and go, no, I know Him. I know Him so good that like I know who I am now. That doesn't make me anything. I'm just thankful I'm in His book. But because I know Him and I know who I am now, I can reveal that to you in a way that you can know Him too. So Father, I ask You to grab a hold of all of our hearts. If we really believe this word we keep studying and the scriptures that You keep showing, God, this Bible that we hold on to and we lift up as we study it, as we read it, it's really what we're listening for is Your voice. We don't want words on pages, silly gold trim. We want to hear Your voice, God. As we study Your word, let us live it out. I shouldn't say let, Lord. Convict each one of us that we have full access to everything You say we do. God, the senior citizens in this community that are just waiting on a peer to walk into the room that knows You. And that You would trust to give Your heart to them for that one. There's young people in here too, Lord, that this summer have a lot of opportunity to be around their peers. But God, they need to know You and Your heart in order to share it with others. And there's all of us in between. So Father, I pray this morning You would stir up our spirit, that it would govern our mind and our flesh. And God, that we would start bringing the reality of heaven here on earth, that we are royalty, we are Your children, and the whole world just wants to see it. We are Your masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works that You prepared for today, beforehand, that we would just go walk in it. So Holy Spirit, I ask You to seal a question on each one's heart. That today as we leave and the hot air hits us, and we go get in our cars, and we go someplace, that today as we see another person, that we will look in their eyes and ask You for Your heart for them. And then try to reveal it to them. So God, again, we praise You for Your Son, Jesus. And we thank You for a King like You, Lord. And we thank You that You're worthy of it. You say deny yourself, take up a cross and follow you. Because in that we'll save ourselves. And it'll be that light the rest of the world needs to see on a stand and not hidden. So Holy Spirit, use each one of us to glorify Jesus, to glorify the Father, and to honor you. Amen.